The report from Minnesota student journalists from the U of M have returned to the state capitol after their spring break and were right back in the action. I'm Chelsea Perkins for KAXE, and joining me are Elias Thomas, Sam Sido, and Yvette Higgins. The trio are based at the Capitol in St. Paul, where they're busy working as reporters while also earning their journalism degrees. The Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication program is helping KAXE and other rural Minnesota outlets cover this legislative session. First, we hear from Elias.
My story was on a House bill about repairing wells and doing water treatment in wells that have nitrate pollution. And so the goal is to target southeast Minnesota areas where nitrate pollution is pretty prevalent and where the nitrate levels are above the safe amount. This bill would put about $8 million over the next 2 years towards those repairs, water treatment systems, and they're targeting highly vulnerable populations. So that's like houses with young children or houses with pregnant mothers, as they are more susceptible to harm from nitrates. The idea is that they'll go towards the highly vulnerable houses first and then pretty much spread the money out as much as they can.
So let's talk about the contamination there. I mean, what is the impact of nitrates? What exactly does it do when it's in the water?
It can cause a lot of health effects. The most extreme, it could technically, high nitrates can cause cancer. But the way that it occurs is it'll seep into the drinking water sources, whether it be from fertilized soil, wastewater, landfills. Because of the geology in southeast Minnesota, their groundwater is a lot more susceptible to those leaks and to that contamination, which is why they're targeting that area more specifically.
So what did it sound like you were hearing from legislators? Was there broad support of this bill?
It was authored by Republican Representative Stephen Jacob, but it has bipartisan support. The day I talked to Representative Jacob, he said, like, literally that afternoon, somebody had come into another Democrat to sign on. So there's a lot of support. I think they see the benefit of, you know, having clean drinking water. It's really, there's no sides to this. You know, there's no really political advantage to agreeing with it or not. So it's definitely got a ton of bipartisan support, and I think it'll move through pretty easily.
You know, that makes me think of just how often the legislature is portrayed as being this really partisan body, but with bills like this and other bills that you guys have talked about with me in the past, I mean, they're coming together from both parties to really make things happen, assuming that this does get passed, right?
You're seeing more now that special election occurred, and I think there's more pushback from people that, like, okay, we do need to actually get things done. And so bills like this are a great example of the stuff that is really purely for Minnesotans. So it's good to see things like this moving along.
All right. Thanks, Elias. Moving on to Sam, let's talk about your story.
This bill authored by Senator Mary Kunesh would establish this task force to create a memorial for Native American veterans that would be put on the Capitol grounds. Pretty much bipartisan support. It's a very simple bill. It'd be a 13-person task force. And I thought it was actually really interesting in my research when writing the story, writing about the bill, I didn't realize that Native Americans actually serve in the military at a significantly higher rate than typically. I think they serve at a 19% rate compared to 14% nationally, which only sounds like a couple of percentage points. But that means a lot when you're talking about breaking down demographics, that the amount that they serve.
You talked about in your story a little bit things that had been deleted from some websites at the federal level, seemingly as part of efforts to remove language related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. What did you learn there?
Senator Kunesh was speaking about how support for this bill and other bills to commemorate and memorialize the contributions of Native Americans were particularly important in relation to that. So Trump had an executive order that removed military content related to diversity, equity, inclusion. And it seems, and we've seen this a lot on a nationwide scale with the removal of diversity, equity, and inclusion related content, that not just the content that the administration seems to be targeting is being removed. There are a lot of these quote unquote unintended consequences and information about the contributions of Native American veterans, especially the Navajo code talkers, seem to be caught up in this mass sweep of removal of that content.
So it sounds like there's some bipartisan support for this bill as well. Any idea of a timeline if the task force is put together? How long in the future would we perhaps see a memorial?
It looks like that is still part of what's being worked out through the bill as well as the budget. Like that isn't set in stone just yet, as it's just now moving through the committees.
So this task force, I would assume, would also be looking at things like design and stuff like that as well.
The task force would be, it sounds at least to me, like handling a lot of the logistics and figuring out which artist or combination of artists would be appointed to design and create the memorial, kind of making sure that the right people are working for it.
Okay, last but not least, let's find out what you covered, Yvette.
I'm covering a couple bills that would reform cannabis laws a little bit and mostly just like clarify them. So one would try to improve access to medical marijuana for people by having virtual visits so that if you're far from a dispensary, you can still get care. And then also making it so that landlords and schools can't refuse enrollment or housing to people just on the basis of using medical marijuana. And then the last thing that bill would do is allow tribes to also be protected by the bill. So there would be reciprocity for tribal patients so that they could receive care through this bill as well. And then the second bill would just make it so that the Office of Cannabis Management would become an official agency. So that would kind of open up conversation between tribes and the state government so that they could discuss regulations and kind of come to agreements on that.
What did you hear in the committee meetings that you were covering, or what did you learn about this as you were going along?
The bills by Senator Scott Dibble, and he said that these bills are just important to him, kind of said that they're pretty basic changes. They're not like changing the law, but he said that it's just important for there to be an open communication with the tribes, and it would just make it so that regulations are really clear for people.
Was there any testimony or anything like that you could tell us a little bit about?
Yeah, there wasn't a ton from the public, but Eric Tauble, the director of the Office of Cannabis Management, came in and he kind of just explained why these changes are important for patients.
It sounds like this might be something that could have particular impact on rural people. You know, we're in a rural area, and if they're unable to get to a dispensary nearby, having this virtual visit situation might make it easier. I mean, was there a discussion about that?
He did mention that it would kind of affect rural communities because they're the ones that are sort of further from the dispensaries.
Stepping back a little bit, I mean, now that cannabis is legal for recreational purposes in Minnesota, some people might think, well, why does there even need to be a separate medical cannabis program? So what did you learn about the distinctions there, or how people might understand a little bit better about the separate medical need for cannabis?
Medical marijuana is actually cheaper for patients. So that's an important distinction because it's not subject to certain taxes that recreational marijuana is subject to. And then also you can get medical marijuana starting at 18 versus 21 for recreational use. And then also medical marijuana can be a little bit more potent, and you can get like specific advice from your doctor about what kind you should use and things like that.
What do we think is the likelihood of these bills going forward?
I asked Senator Dibble about that, and he said that like you can't be confident about anything during this time. So he didn't say he was confident about his bill, but from the sense of the meeting, there wasn't any questions or concerns that came up from other senators. So it seemed like at least in that committee, they seemed to be in support of these bills.
That was Report from Minnesota student journalists Elias Thomas, Sam Cito, and Yvette Higgins. Find their stories at our website, kaxe.org. If you have questions about state government or what your representatives are up to in St. Paul, shoot us an email at news@kaxe.org. And be sure to check out our coverage of the upcoming special election in Senate District 6 after the resignation of Senator Justin Eichhorn of Grand Rapids. For KAXE, I'm Chelsea Perkins.